Once a month, we sit down and talk about food here on Life Matters, which I love. But today we're branching out a little into dinner parties. The idea of hosting a sit-down meal can strike fear into some of us home cooks, especially if we're out of practice at having people around because of COVID. Dietary restrictions, fostering conversation, juggling all the dishes so they come out on time. But it doesn't have to be daunting. I would love to hear from you about what makes for a great dinner party, whether you've been to a really good one or you've hosted one that kind of worked out all right. That's great. Head to our Facebook page and tell us there, ABCRN. Alice Zaslavsky is a food writer, cook and educator. Her latest cookbook is called In Praise of Veg, and she's a regular here on Life Matters. Alice, hi.
Hi, Hilary. I should have brought a plate.
We would have both brought mac and cheese, probably.
Probably. Which is always a winner.
Yeah, I'm not fussed about that. You know, the whole, you know, coordinating dishes. No, just all bring carbs. That's fine.
That's it.
How interested are we these days in the idea of dinner parties? I mean, I think they probably went out of vogue a little bit during some places that had lockdowns.
Yes.
But yeah, we're still doing the full 70s, you know, table sculptures and whatnot.
Hilary, you could say there was a dip in dinner parties for a few years, but they are back with a vengeance. And it is because we are just so relishing coming back together. I'm sorry, I just can't avoid the food puns today. Sorry, not sorry. that's what Food for Thought's all about, right? There's a healthy helping of food puns in there.
I'm counting. Ding. I'll do a little ding every time.
That's good. But that idea of going all out, full blown, you know, cheese sculptures and hedgehogs with little frankfurts and pineapples sticking out.
Little toadstools made of boiled eggs and half tomatoes.
Well, I would like to say gone are the days, but actually some of that stuff, some of that retro, really kind of kitschy food is coming back a little bit. And I think it is because everything old is new again. People like the notion that they are coming along to something and it feels more like an occasion. And there's even social media accounts dedicated to this kind of food. 70s dinner party is a personal favourite.
Is it all brown though? It was so brown then.
Surprisingly not, but there's a lot of pineapple. And there's a very good reason. If you think about the cookbooks that were available then, a lot of them were actually sponsored by food companies. So, of course, you've got so many pineapple recipes because there was a certain cookbook that came out in the 70s that encouraged people to cook with tinned pineapple.
Well, and there was a lot more tinned food and a bit harder to get really good fresh food in some places too back then.
Yes, which is another reason why we're talking about it, because with food costs going up, we are thinking, how can we incorporate more frozen and more tinned food into our cooking? And how can we kind of split or share the costs? So that's another idea of people coming together in a communal way more often, maybe once a week. It's a great way of sharing the load.
Well, when we think about cost of living issues going into choosing the dishes for a dinner party, there's a lot going on with a dinner party, isn't there? You want something everyone's going to like, that you can afford, that is not going to be too complicated to cook. Do you have thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I really think the good idea is veg first. I would say that though, but vegetables are fairly inexpensive and they are inclusive of dietaries. And then think about buildable dishes. So some people don't like coriander. We've discussed this before. So don't add the coriander. Have it on the side and people can add it into the salad or into the taco if they want to. And that idea of the buildable things like, you know, you could have wraps, you could have a dish that I particularly like to serve at a dinner party is something like taco rice, which is an Okinawan specialty. And it's a sushi rice bottom. So it's like a platter, sushi rice bottom. You've got the mince on the top. You've got lettuce, tomato, cheddar cheese. So you can imagine it's a deconstructed taco.
Yeah.
It's a pretty phenomenally interesting dish and one that I think a lot of people can eat. And if you think about dietaries, you know, you might like to think of a plant-based mince option. And that way, you know, you keep the mince off it, people can choose. There you go.
Well, and that's interesting too, because it's kind of like the midweek special, but fancied up. So it's not that far away from your usual skills.
Exactly. And don't think about going too fancy. Whatever your midweek special is, if that's your specialty, stick to that. Because ultimately at a dinner party, the last thing that you want to do is be setting sail on a maiden voyage with a dish that you've never made before, because that is just a recipe for disaster.
It's the Bridget Jones of dinner parties, isn't it? It's the blue leek soup.
Yeah. You don't want to make a blue leek soup. Unless you want to on purpose, you know. Blue algae, hot. It's a hot ingredient for chefs. Not so hot, I think, at a dinner party.
It's a bit Heston Blumenthal, isn't it?
A little bit too chefy.
No foams.
No foams.
But so what about the time management issue when you're choosing your menu, because you don't want to be stuck in the kitchen all night?
No. So lots of things can be prepared in advance and assembled a la minute. That's the way restaurants work. Actually, if you look at a kitchen, there's the notion of mise en place, everything in its place. Everything has actually been prepped in advance. And the reason why it looks so fresh is because it's been united just at the very last minute. So that's something that you can do even days out. You know, and I get emails, you know, I've got a recipe column. I get emails asking how many days in advance can I prepare these things? That is a very sensible question to ask.
Yes, indeed. Though I read one article in the New York Times that said everything should be cooked 2 hours before and then it's just time to clean the toilet and have a glass of wine. I was like, okay, that's impressive. What can you cook that's ready 2 hours before?
Yeah, well, roasts, you know, anything that's a slow cook. And I think that's actually something to think about. So if you put something in the oven and you know that it's going to be ready to go maybe half an hour out, and then you're just kind of letting it rest. And then when people come, they've got those gorgeous smells. And it doesn't have to be a meat roast. It could be a big pumpkin that's loaded up with grains and you know, dried fruit and the like. Delicious.
So are you telling me you don't arrive at the doorstep sweaty and covered in food stains and going, I just have to clean the toilet?
I think that would be a wise idea. Oh. And if you are the host, you really should be encouraging people, you know, delegate, actually. You're bringing the house. You are cleaning that toilet. You've got the table. You've got the cloth napkins. Everybody else can do the heavy lifting when it comes to cooking. Maybe you just make dessert.
What about the bringing something thing? If the host says, don't bring a thing, should you bring a thing?
You should definitely bring a thing. I encourage people to bring flowers, or if they've got food that they want to bring, you know, I really don't like to set limitations, because then people get themselves, they work themselves up into a lather. They get really into a tizzy, particularly cooking for somebody that's in sort of the food space. Or even if you've got a friend that's a really good cook, that can be very intimidating. Let that go. It's just so wonderful to be cooked for. That's it.
That's true. But I mean, it is quite nice sometimes to get fancy, isn't it? Do people still have fancy? Do people use tablecloths?
Yes, tablecloths are having a moment, Hilary Harper.
This is a revelation for me, Alice Slavsky.
Yes, well, particularly for millennials and Gen Zs who are buying linen tablecloths in different colours, and it's because of social media. It's not necessarily because they want to be fancy for their friends at the table. They want to take good photographs.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I suppose if you can't afford a house, you might as well have linen napkins.
That's it, in your rental. And the reason why all of those things are coming back, we've got washing machines and dryers. So people are more likely to do the things that they used to really sort of rue, because you'd had to hand wash those you know, lacy tablecloths. Now it's just bung it in the washing machine. And it's done.
Can I tell you about my epic dinner party fail?
Oh, gosh.
In my 20s, I went through that phase of like, I'm a grown-up. I'm going to have a dinner party. I'm going to invite like 12 people, because we lived behind a shop. We had a big space. So I hired trestle tables and I cut some calico off big bolts at the fabric shop, and I had kind of tablecloths with no hemming, and I just got armfuls of jasmine from the back fence and put them in the middle. I was like, I am slaying this. This is great. And I did roast lamb, and I was shocked by how expensive two big legs of lamb is for that many people. And our oven was really small and I only had one tray. And we ate at 10 o'clock at night. But it was fun.
And that's the thing. Ultimately, dinner parties are a party. Dinner's just the sort of side note. You know, come for the food, stay for the company. So even if you do have a fail, don't let them know. Nobody knows what's happening on stage except for you. So I remember, gosh, my biggest dinner party fail, I invited a very, a well-awarded Michelin star chef who'd just gotten off a plane. So he was a bit jet lagged. And I should have noted that, but I kept thinking, oh, he's looking really down. You know, he's looking flat. Maybe it's the food. And so I just started rushing. And there was a pumpkin dish that I'd learned when I was at a gorgeous restaurant in Dales. And I thought, I'm going to make that. The pumpkin had been ready in advance. All I needed to do was put it in a pan with butter and pumpkin seeds. And I had just whacked all of the pumpkin into this tiny pan, because I was in a hurry to get food on the table, and it just sweated. But you know, Hilary Harper, he didn't care.
Oh.
Because he was being cooked for. you could put up a grilled cheese sandwich for most chefs and they'd be happy with you.
But it's really interesting on our Facebook page. There's lots of people saying, oh, you know, it's about the company. It's about good wine seemed to be an important theme.
Yes.
And just feeling relaxed and at home with people. And some people, you know, going, I would love to have a fancy dinner party. That actually sounds really nice. But most people were like, toasted cheese sandwich with good mates is fine.
Exactly. And more than fine. I would strongly encourage toasted cheese sandwich parties. It's dinner, whatever you choose to eat that night.
Though on that, I mean, you know, if you do bring something, and often people bring a dessert because, it, you know, it's less likely to clash with other things. Is there a danger you might upstage the host? Is that a problem? If you bring this massive towering croquembouche full of, you know, drizzled caramel or something and they've had the toasted cheese sandwich.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so because it's kind of like an outfit. You don't want every single piece to be the showpiece, you know, and you want maybe the shoes. So the croquembouche are the shoes and they're really jazzy, satin, jewelled, and the rest of the outfit's simple. And that's how we eat now.
It was an interesting thing someone related to me recently. They'd been to a dinner party. And it was lovely. And I think the food was provided by a social enterprise. So that was a lovely thing as well. My friend had bought a lovely bottle of wine. And at the end of the night, the host said, I'm going to ask you for a contribution, a financial contribution to this. And the friend was like, I wish I had known about that earlier. What are the ethics around asking for money around dinner parties?
Good question. It sounds like that was a fundraising dinner, and I feel like the host should have given more notice, perhaps, because then you could budget for that so that whatever you bring as well as the contribution is the full amount. So it's about communication. Don't spring it on your guests at the end of the night. Don't bring them the bill.
No.
But I actually would, particularly because people are, perhaps that's a barrier to entry because they don't feel like they can afford to put on the whole shebang. But if everybody put something in, then they might. And there's actually a notion called a supper club, which was founded very much in London, went all around the world, where people are charging a certain fee, and it could be strangers, it could be friends, joining around a table, and somebody who just really loves to cook is cooking for them.
Lovely. Yeah. That sounds really nice. Yeah. Well, and just finally, at the end of the night, when everyone says, can I help you clean up? What should you say?
Yes. But I would say that because I always outsource my cleaning. Because Hilary Harper, every time that you get an opportunity to actually give people a chance to do something in the house, you know, whether it's audience participation, assembling the meal or deconstructing the meal around the dishwasher and the sink and whatever you've got, you know, drying dishes, delegate. And then you'll be much happier, and they will be too.
And the best conversations happen around the dishes anyway.
That's it.
Alice Zaslavsky, thank you so much for coming in. It's always fun to chat to you.
Oh, likewise. Next time, I'll bring a plate.
Oh, it better be a croquembouche. No pressure. Alice Zaslavsky, food writer, cook, educator. Her cookbook, In Praise of Veg, is huge and has many ideas for beautiful things that you can make for dinner parties or just for your family.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.